Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cycles of Change radio program here on July 5th, 2012. I'm your host, David Katzmeyer, coming to you live as I do every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. Tonight we have a very special show with our guest, Leslie Carol Botha, who is a leading researcher on women's hormonal cycles, and it's a profound of relationship to a woman's psyche. Leslie has been doing this research for more than 30 years, and tonight we're going to find some correlations between understanding the internal rhythms that happen inside of a woman and happen inside of a man, as well as inside of a nation in which we live. There's a fractal relationship. Leslie is a specialist on the internal rhythms of a woman and the menstrual cycle and how these internal cycles affect your moods and your course, your perspective, and so forth. When you understand the rhythms that are going on inside of yourself, you will understand the world around you better, and you will interact better. That defies some 20th century logic. Leslie is a woman's health educator. She's an author, publisher, and she's become an internationally recognized expert on women's hormonal health. She is a broadcast journalist with her own radio program at KRFC Radio out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Her work emphasizes the significance of the hormone cycle and its profound relationships to woman's psyche. With more than 30 years of research, she demonstrates how hormone changes and fluctuations in the menstrual cycle affect women's physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Leslie posts her research and articles on women's hormonal health at her blog, Holy Hormones, Honey, The Greatest Story Never Told. You can find out more about this at holyhormones.com. Leslie is a member of the Society for Menstrual Cycle Research. She's an advisory board member for the Cycles Research Institute and an expert advisor for cycleharmony.com. In 2007, Leslie received a certificate of study and training in whole health and whole health sciences from the National Institute of Whole Health. In 2006, Leslie received the Edward R. Dewey Award for her pioneering research on how women's hormonal fluctuations affect their behaviors. I had the pleasure of meeting Leslie Botha back in 2009 in New Mexico. We were both speakers at the same event, which was hosted by a research group on cycle study. Leslie demonstrated some of her work, provided some of the details, and she had everybody's attention, and everybody understood a little bit more after listening to her. We struck up an immediate friendship, and as I learned more about the depth and richness of her work, began to understand that as she was teaching women to understand the cycles that move within them and to go with the flow, as it were, rather than just think in a linear straight program, you know, to fit the mold, realized that this had parallels to what I was observing in the history of a nation, of all nations. Nations also are an embodiment of people, and it has a body, and it has highs and lows. These are the changing times that move through decades, and history does not move in a straight line either. A nation has mood swings of ups and downs. We call them trends. There is a parallel, a fractal relationship. So I've sought to understand a little bit more about what Leslie has to teach us, because it's not only helping me to understand all of us on the individual level a little bit more, it's helping me to understand the nations and even the world's civilization in the cycles of change. So with all of that, I would like to introduce you all to our special guest tonight, Leslie Carol Botha.
Thank Leslie, you, David, hello, very much. There? Delighted to be with you.
Oh, so wonderful to have you here, Leslie. We welcome you to the program. Leslie, to begin, could you tell our listeners a little bit about what they will find when they visit your site at holyhormones.com?
Well, there's a lot there on my site.
There is, and it's a massive site. It's hard to put an encyclopedia into a capsule.
You know, we really wanted to create something like the Huffington Post for women's health. Women are on the Internet looking for answers to their health care, mostly their endocrine health, more than anybody else searching for anything. And I really wanted to put together one site to gather as much information as possible for women, because there is so much being reported around the world, and a woman would have to spend hours looking for it. And so the website is about 10 years old. The blog is probably now about 3 years old, maybe four or five. It has 4,665 posts to it, numerous articles that I have written, many press releases that I have also written about my concerns about women's health. It started off more educational, in informing women about their hormone, endocrine health, their menstrual health, as I also call it. But in the last year, it's become very much, very social political, only because of the war on women, quote-unquote war on women, and quote-unquote war on women's bodies. That's affecting our reproductive health choices, whether it's funding, whether it's laws and legislation, whether it's just, and most of it's just craziness. But unless women are not, and men are aware of these things and what's really going on, then we're going to lose a lot of these rights. And that's very frightening for us who have 30, 40 years ago, made sure that these rights were in place for women.
Indeed. You know, it's a natural tendency for some people to try to control what they don't understand. But what I'm excited about is that you're bringing, you know, an education, an understanding, a deeper understanding. And rather than, you know, have this neurotic dissonance of the world telling you you're wrong, you're supposed to walk this straight line and this is the way, instead of realizing that every day isn't the same. If it were, there wouldn't be waves. There wouldn't be phases of the moon. The earth wouldn't go around the sun, and a woman wouldn't be a woman. And we're getting a little bit away from the old hierarchy of patriarchal dominance on a flow chart, a military-like, system of order. We're becoming more interactive. We're becoming more liberated. We're becoming more cooperative. And these are actually feminine styles, I believe, Leslie, and correct me whenever you think I'm wrong, but I believe that there is definitely a masculine style of order, which is absolutely needed, and a feminine style of order, which is absolutely needed, because there is no yin without yang. And the cycles of time have shown that we move between, sometimes we're more masculine, sometimes we're more feminine, sometimes we're very much both, and very low in both energies, too. That's just the world of cycles. We are coming out of a time now, Leslie, where I believe that the 20th century was all about power and dominance. And it was, you know, brawn over brains, and it didn't have a lot of room for insight, compassion. We were all dancing in the sun without being able to see in the dark. Your work is showing us a little bit more of understanding, a little bit more yin, and more depth in really what we're all about. And when we go inside of ourselves, we go into the wonders of the universe, and everything has music of the universe that moves in rhythm. That's why I personally find your work so fascinating to behold.
That was so beautifully said, David. There are so many pieces of it I would love to address, but the one piece that I did hold on to is that we have been living in the sun and we have been afraid of the dark. Very poignant, because that is what happens. In a woman's menstrual cycle is pretty much biphasic. There is the pre-ovulatory aspect and there is the post-ovulatory aspect. Pre-ovulatory is when the hormones start rising after menstruation. Post-ovulatory is obviously after ovulation takes place and her hormones start dropping on the other side. It is usually that last week, and actually it's known in mythology as the white moon goddess and the dark moon goddess. Women have been told and preached at over the years in so many different ways, through the media, through the Bible. There's another whole reason, maybe we'll get into it or not, to be afraid of this dark aspect of ourselves. We look at the sun as positive and the moon as negative. And yes, that may hold in some circles, but each holds its own purpose and light. And whereas the dark, and I read this in a book on magic many, many years ago, that women during the paramenstrual, during the premenstrual phase and their bleeding time, are known to be more intuitive, psychic, and spiritual than at any other time of their cycle. But we have been taught to take 2 Valium and go home, honey. We act out, we self-destruct without even knowing what's going on with our bodies because we are so afraid of that, of what is happening to us. People in our lives say, what's wrong with you? Last week you were great to be around, and this week you're such a witch. Husbands, partners.
Don't mispronounce
anything. Mom, you're raging. What's wrong with you? Coworkers. And we start doubting ourselves. What's wrong with me? And that's a horrible thing for women to have to go to. Let me just say one more thing, and I'll hand it back to you, David.
Please continue. That's why you're here.
This dark side, this moon side of ourselves, this intuitive psychic side, instead of hiding it and denying it in order to become whole women. We need to start trusting our emotions and understanding how these emotions change throughout our cycle. And once that is done, our whole world changes. Instead of feeling that we have to control our weight, control our image, control our speech, control, we can start trusting our emotions and the changes going on. Very empowering.
It is very empowering because you mentioned something that I think is so important, which is the silent tragedy of misperception, of being misjudged and misunderstood. You know, there's a greater strength in the rhythms of the universe, the waves of the ocean, the currents of the sea, and the rhythms that move within us. It's part of who we are and what we are. But when you are supposed to fit someone else's expectation, and rather than having the system in which you work adapt to the people that it's supposed to be supporting instead of the other way around, then that is the silent tragedy. And what happens, I believe, is that when people are misunderstood, that they're being told that, well, this is wrong, and the system is set up to go this way, and you're supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be in exactly the same mood every day. This is what your mood should be like. You're going to eat your lunch at 12 o'clock every day. You're going to go home at 5 o'clock if you're in the norm, and you're going to have, you know, weekends. And this is the way everything is set up. If that doesn't work for you, it doesn't jive with your circadian rhythms or your monthly cycles or anything like that, then you're wrong. You know, the machine will keep going. Well, what we're finding out now is the machine has kind of destroyed the earth. And our mother isn't happy with us right now. So we're beginning to think maybe the wonders of the universe and the inveterate tides of all things, the dance of Shiva itself might be right. The machines we invented and our mode of behavior to follow them maybe isn't always right. So therein lies neurosis, and it happens in many ways. It happens to women who are told that you're supposed to be in this mood every day. And that's not the only way that, you know, there's silent tragedies. You know, there's been racial discord in this country. I don't want to editorialize too much, but, you know, there are people who are told, if you're not this race, you're wrong, and you deserve whatever is done to you. And there are actually people who have been born into this and thinking, well, maybe there is something really wrong with me. Maybe there, you know, maybe there is such a thing as a bad group of people, which isn't true because science has told us that there is less than 0.5% of anyone's DNA is what makes truly unique. So guess what? We are all one in one body, which is why cycles move in nations. There is a collective consciousness. And we've got to learn, when we understand that we have highs and lows in our life, we're going to understand that our society is moving on tides that move up and down. So we won't necessarily be caught by surprise when change happens. Your understanding, Leslie, your pioneering work is giving support to people who might feel isolated in their concentric circles of life, of your immediate family, your group of friends, the community around you, the state in which you live, the nation, civilization, the times in which we're born, are not necessarily saying, yes, everything moves in rhythm. They say, march in order and shut up. Well, that time's over. Goodbye, 20th century. We're not only in the new century and the new millennium, we are in what everybody said was coming, the paradigm shift. And part of that shift is merely understanding something that was coined in the early 1990s, emotional intelligence. What a wonderful term. Leslie, of all the people that I know, I find you to have as much emotional intelligence as anyone I've ever met.
Well, thank
you
for that compliment.
Your work is very valuable. I'm saying that to our listeners because I want everyone to check out holyhormones.com and find out.
Well, my work is very valuable. In fact, I was at a conference here in Fort Collins on sexual abuse in the community. And I went up and spoke with one of the police officers afterwards, and I said, this is what I do. And he said, your work can literally save families.
Right.
What we do not realize is that hormones are the great communicators in our body. We cannot live without hormones. During the menstrual cycle and a woman's menstruating years, her brain changes every single day due to fluctuating hormone levels. We can see that now through brain images and brain scanning. A woman or her partner or her family may not notice this day to day, but certainly when you go week to week, there are distinct behavioral changes. Many, many years ago, I had a brilliant insight, and it's on my website under Female Mystique if you go to workshop, and I have coined the phrase Female Mystique, the Three Phases of Ease, and demonstrates how the moon phases as a life cycle also, and as the new moon, full moon, waning moon, also correlate to the pre-ovulatory, ovulatory, and the post-ovulatory cycle, and also correspond to the behavioral attributes of a maiden virgin, mother, and or wise woman, grandmother. And I have a chart on my site, and this is also included in my book in a chapter under called, the book is called Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle. But when you look at this chart and you look at how the moon lines up with the three phases of a woman's cycle, with the three phases that a woman goes through in her life as maiden, mother, wise woman, and then I pose that we go through these three phases, maiden, mother, wise woman, every single month. And that alone helps women understand, within their own nature, of course, how they change throughout the month. For example, a maiden, let's look at our hormonal honeys, our teenage daughters, all right? Independent, yep. Assertive, outgoing, renewal, time of renewal, they're more social, they're more sexual. All right, that corresponds to when the first few days after we have our periods and a hormone starts rising and we're like feeling great all over again. Well, that's how teenage girls feel. We go to the ovulatory phase, the mothering phase, where we're nurturing, giving, creative, loving, encompassing, and more patient. And then once again we change in the post-ovulatory phase to the wise woman grandmother who is reflective, psychic, intuitive, inward, one in herself, and again, more sexual. And if women pay attention, they will notice that they go through these three phases throughout their menstrual cycle, and it becomes a dance and a rhythm, and they understand themselves, and because they understand these changes, they become more powerful and effective in their lives. I have three sons, and I told them, you know, I'm here for you for 3 weeks. That fourth week, I need space. And it worked.
Yes.
I have three beautiful, very sensitive sons who understand how women's hormones change and their behaviors change. Now, unfortunately, what we're seeing today, because we've been living out of sync with our endocrine system, where most women are endocrinely whacked, is what I say, is extreme hormone imbalance, which is causing severe mood swings, PMS, PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is classified as a mental illness, bipolar disorder. How many women are diagnosed with that? And then we're put on more medications. That's wrong. First thing that needs to be done is that women need to start balancing their hormones. And a lot of these other issues will clear up. The most brilliant thing is now that we can see how hormones affect the brain and the brain then determines our behavior, PMS and PMDD can be thrown out the window with the dirty dishwasher, whatever that saying is. All right, they were made up labels to denigrate women. That PMS and PMDD do not even exist in third world countries. Now they do because third world countries are getting more processed foods, more synthetic hormones, birth control pills, shots, implants, just like the rest of the world. And so their women are getting hormonally whacked out too. But living with this cycle, becoming hormonally imbalanced is empowering to women. And that's what my blog and that's what my work is all about.
And that's how it's been for millenniums on end. And understanding this and moving with nature, when we were living in and with nature more closely, then it was rare for a woman to be considered neurotic because she's moving in the flow of nature, because everybody knew all the cycles of nature and therefore the cycles within and without them. You know, it's interesting you point out that within the phases of so many weeks, you see the phases that are carried out throughout the courses of a person's life, you know, from maiden to wise woman. You see this in the phylogenetic development of a person's lifespan, but it's replayed many times over on a fractal scale on like a monthly basis. This is patterns within patterns, and the world of nature is replete with fractal patterns of cycles repeating themselves. Not only can you find within yourself the cycles that will show you the courses of your lifespan throughout your entire life, but you will also find that these cycles are repeated on an even greater scale in the nation in which you live. And that's the correlation that fascinated me. So when we understand the cycles within us, we understand the world around us. And we should meditate, not medicate. And the 20th century method was to treat the symptom, quote unquote, instead of understanding the nature and the cause. Your work is doing something to reverse that trend.
I like what you said there. We should meditate, not medicate.
Yes.
So, all right, since we're doing sayings, I've got a classic saying I always use. We are cyclical beings, not beings governed by a cycle. So many women feel
that
they are so ruled by menstruation that they don't have a life. And unfortunately, that is really not true. That is a myth, and that is what we have been taught. I'm holding a wonderful book, David. It was one of the first books that fell into my lap, Rosalind Miles, The Women's History of the World. Elise Boulding at one time said, every woman had a body calendar, her monthly menstrual cycle. She would be the first to notice the relationship between her own body cycle and the lunar cycle. And because of that, women became the first agriculturalists, mathematicians. They certainly became herbologists, healers, midwives. Women played important roles. In fact, it was because of the menstrual cycle and this correlation to the lunar cycle that gave women the status of being a goddess, because she could also bring life into the world. And before we understood that it took two to dance, that men played a valuable role in conception, it was thought that the woman was impregnated by the full moon. Because all women back in the day, that's way back in the day, many, many moon cycles ago, when women were revered as goddesses, they all cycled at the same time. And you know, because of synchronistic energy and the work that you're doing with calorhythms, what a powerful force that is. And so women were, you know, they were moving mountains, and then they were going into menstrual huts, and taboo actually meant sacred, to reflect, to regenerate, to look forward and make plans for the next cycle. That's what I teach women. And then they went out again, and they moved more mountains. And that's how civilizations progressed and societies thrived on all of that. Women played vital, key roles. Leonard Shalane wrote, I can never remember his name. It's either Daniel or Leonard. Sometimes you just have to have a brain, you know what I mean, on some things. And he wrote Sex, Time, and Money. I'll look it up on the internet in just a moment. And he wrote in his book on Sex, Time, and Power, that once women went on HRT, hormone replacement therapy, and once women were put on birth control pills, that they lost their sense of power. And he made a comparison to great women leaders prior to HRT and prior to birth control pills, synthetic hormone contraceptives, and he made a comparison of that to women post going on all of these things. And we've had a great reduction in the number of women in the world holding powerful positions.
Yes, yes. And when you go back through history even further, you find out that what we have forgotten is something we have forgotten relatively recently. You know, when you look back at the older religions, and I mean very old religions, you'll find that we have forgotten the goddess. You can go back a couple of thousands of years ago, and we have Christianity, praise Jesus, and we have Judaism, and we have Islam, and before that you can go into the Zoroaster. But if you go back really, really far, you find that the oldest writings going back 5,000 and 6,000 years in Sanskrit are talking about a religion that was probably already in effect many, many ages before the oldest records survived to today. And there you find that when you study Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, that there are consorts. Shiva has a counterpart, which is Shakti, and so forth. And every god has a female counterpart because there is a god and goddess. We have forgotten the goddess. We say that we are made in the image of God, and that's because it's true. But it's also true, and I don't want to get too theological, that we are made in the image of the goddess as well. And relatively recently, we tend to genderize our perception and put our concept of what we actually do pick up from the divine, but we have to interpret it in our minds and speak it from our mouths and write it with our pens. And when we do, we as vessels to the divine become somewhat of a filter to it, and that filter is like putting different colored glasses on and seeing rose-colored, yellow-colored, green-colored, or whatever. And that filter comes through in our writings. So relatively recently, we're saying that, yes, God does have a gender, and that gender is male. And so God is always referred to as he. And in the story of creation in Christianity, which I believe in Christianity, by the way, I just put a personal note in there, but the story of creation says that even the woman's natural act of giving birth is taken away from her in the story of creation because Adam gave birth to Eve from his rib. So where is the goddess? Well, there is a goddess in modern religions and everywhere. We just don't always understand it. Christians speak of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, guess what the Holy Ghost is? Guess what the Holy Ghost is? That's your mother, baby. So... for my editorializing, but we may have forgotten the goddess in our times, and by our times I mean the last few millennia. But research shows that for just eons and eons of time, the records are replete with an understanding, a realization, and an incorporation of the spirit of the goddess in our lives. If we are going to go through self-realization in order to understand the divine, let us understand that there is yin, there is yang, there is harmony, there is fluctuation, there is the Tao, there is everything. And instead of saying, my religion is right and everybody else's is wrong, what do we say? They're all right, and understand what are the right things about them. And what's right is when we understand ourselves. That's where your work comes in, Leslie. You know, and what your work understanding...
This is how I see this. I see that women are the nucleus of an atom, and that men and children are the electrons and protons. When that nucleus is intact, everything is cycling correctly. When the nucleus is not intact, then chaos ensues. And we are seeing chaos in many families around the world. And most of that's due to raging hormones that are being exacerbated by toxins in our environment, plastic, BPA, food, the buildup of estrogen in the body from now generations of birth control use. And by the way, before I get too far into this, it is Sex, Time, and Power, and it was by Leonard Shirlane, who passed in 2009.
It's
a brilliant, brilliant book. Absolutely brilliant book. And I highly recommend it.
Well, you know, and to put something you said in terms of physics, you know, I think emotional energy is like gravity. So, you know, a woman being like the nucleus of an atom, there is gravity there. And gravity is observed by the cyclical patterns around it of the electrons and everything like that. Even the atoms in our bodies have cycles, our moods, our emotions, our minds, our bodies, and so forth. And, you know, for the men listening in, guess what? This is not just women, and this is not a novel concept. You know, we learned a lot with the discovery of biorhythms. This is a study that goes back into the 19th century. And as a result, independently, doctors discovered that within each of us, from the day we're born, both men and women, we have a series of periodic cycles moving within us that affect us physically, emotionally, and intellectually. We have, everybody, a 23-day physical cycle of highs and lows, a 28-day emotional cycle of highs and lows, and a 33-day cycle intellectually of highs and lows. And it's what was interesting that different researchers came up with this, not knowing the work of others. Dr. Herman Swoboda discovered this. Dr. Wilhelm Fleisch discovered this. Dr. Rexford Hersey discovered this in different parts of the world. And when we put it all together, we said, yes, there is a triumvirate braid rhythm affecting us physically, emotionally, and intellectually. And that 28-day emotional cycle ties in with something you said, Leslie. It correlates with the lunar cycle. The 28-day lunar cycle correlates with a 28-day cycle moving within us from the day we're born. I want to make one more correlation before I turn it back to you, Leslie, is that I'm saying that if you understand the changes that are going on inside of you, you could look to the nation around you and to the world civilization on larger scales of size and time to know that nations have mood swings. Civilizations have rises and falls. And
we're in one hell of a premenstrual phase right now.
Well, that's on the world arena. And on a national scale, you know what's interesting? There is something in the mood called the Saros cycles that have to do with the tilt of the orbital plane of the moon as it goes around the Earth. And this cycle moves on about 18 years. And after a 36-year period, it has completed two of these cycles of the tilt of the orbital plane. Well, the 36-year emotional cycle is something that you can find in every nation. That correlates with the moon. The 28-day emotional cycle in every man and woman correlates to the moon again. We're understanding ourselves, and as we do, maybe we won't be quite as impulsive as we move on throughout history. Time will tell.
Time will tell. Time will tell. You know, I just posted an article tonight, that is something that I have been talking about for a long time, afraid of for a long time, And it is an article that showed up in Body Ecology called Genetically Modified Babies, Are We Too Sick to Have Our Own Children? The first scientific study has been done. Scientists have created the world's first genetically engineered human beings. According to reports, after some trial and error in the laboratory, 30 healthy and successfully genetically engineered babies have been born in the United States.
Dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Danger.
Because women, here's the deal, David. Women have such an important role in every single culture around the world. And part of that is her ability to give birth, to ensure the survival of the universe, the human race, to bring healthy babies into the world. And that is slowly eroding away. There have been 300 toxins found in the umbilical cords of women in Western industrialized countries. There are studies being done about these toxins now obviously showing up within the infant itself, causing autism immediately. You add a heavy vaccination schedule to that. Not breastfeeding, but then what I'm trying to say is fake breast milk. What am I trying to say here? The powdered, instant powdered stuff. And we put infants on that right away instead of building up their immunity through mother's
own breast
milk.
With antibodies, which are passed from mother to child. Yes, that's important.
Right, exactly. And so our babies are getting are sicker and sicker when they're being born. It's a very sad thing. And to even think that technology could start producing healthy babies while women are producing unhealthy babies and getting blamed for it, by the way, is a very scary thing. And it will be the end of womankind as we know it. It will be
the end of the human race.
Of women having any vital role in the world. It will be the end of any type of partnership between men and women because whatever is left of women's values is going to be shattered. There is a great Native American saying that says, a nation is not defeated until the hearts of its women are on the ground.
Yes. Yes, because we are mind, heart, and body, and that it is in a nation. So a nation, a body of people, has a mind, heart, and a body. And when you defeat the heart of someone or a people, then you have defeated them. And what you're describing in the genetic experiments, it sounds like you're telling me that we're not only conducting the experiments, now we are the experiment.
Well, we've been the experiment for a very, very, very long time. In fact, population control it needs to be done. There is not a method of birth control that is without side effects for women. In fact, they are now denouncing the birth control pill for women because of human error, that women cannot remember to take the pill every single day at the same time every day. They are now putting teens in Texas and other parts of the United States on either an implant or giving them an injection, both which secrete synthetic hormones into the body, both which cause early menopause.
That's scary.
Many, many problems. We are now thinking that we're now vaccinating girls. As I said, with the HPV vaccines, Gardasil and Cervarix, at the most fragile time of their lives, which is menarche, the start of the first menstruation, when the endocrine system is trying to develop its own rhythm, its own reproductive rhythm, and we are interrupting that with this series of three shots that is heavily laced with aluminum, borax, L-histidine, the first vaccine to have this synthetic histamine in it, which estrogen already stimulates histamine production. We're seeing girls losing their menstruation, their periods for months at a time. They're going sterile, losing their ovaries, having a whole slew of endocrine problems. What we don't, and we're doing this also, and then I'll get off that little soapbox, David, out of respect for your program.
No, this but is part of the program that's understanding.
Thank you.
Please continue.
We're also vaccinating girls irregardless of where they are in their menstrual cycle. There are government studies, and every single woman knows this. There are government studies that show that when a woman becomes premenstrual, her immunity drops. Science, fact, every woman knows it. It's common sense. And yet we are vaccinating these girls. We are doing medical, other medical surgeries on women, dental surgeries on women, irregardless of whether their immunity is high or where their immunity is low. And I'm hoping that this makes a big difference in your listeners' world, because women need to pay attention to where they are in their menstrual cycle, whether they're ovulating and they have high immunity, or they're premenstrual and their immunity is low, instead of scheduling a surgery around a doctor's golf schedule, which more
absolutely
often than not
and
is going on right now.
Yes,
and so that is something, if I can do, really contribute anything in my body of work over the last 30 years, and I'll be at it for another 20 years, is to change women's health care so that it includes menstrual cycle evaluation, not just for pathological reasons, but also for mental health evaluations. Most women seek psychiatric help when they're premenstrual, when they don't understand what's going on with them. I worked at an in-house treatment program for sexually abused girls for a period of years, taught them how to chart their menstrual cycles against their physical, mental, emotional symptoms. But what I want to share with your viewers, with your listeners, is that the data I walked away with suggests that with the, in the population, the 13 to 17-year-old population that I worked with over a space of 5 years, that over 90% of these girls ended up in jail and had their periods, which means that they were acting out premenstrually, self-destructing, running away from home, running away from boyfriends, attempting suicide, drugging and drinking. Let's look at that for a moment. A woman can handle 5 drinks perhaps at the beginning part of her menstrual or endocrine cycle, and if she has the same 5 drinks right before she gets her period, she's going to be on the floor flat out cold because hormones drop, immunity drops, and the body cannot handle that much alcohol. These girls weren't juvenile delinquents. These girls were a victim of a lack of education about how their hormones affect their bodies. And this is a huge social, political issue that's not being addressed anywhere.
So being told that every day is the same, should be the same every day, doesn't work.
Not for 51% of the world's population.
No. Well, not for men either. And
exactly.
You know, men have emotional ups and downs too, and intellectual and physical ups and downs too. And this is very well documented. Well, it's the study of biorhythms. But we need to understand a little bit more as we, you know, move ahead away from these blown over brain practices, a residual of the 20th century industrial revolution, as we go on to smarter, more compassionate methods, which I think is defining our future, then we're going to do that by understanding things invisible. You know, in a way, this reminds me of the Biosphere project that was down in the Southwest. What they did in the Biosphere project was they were looking to create a replica on Earth of what would be a city on the planet Mars. And what they would, what they did was, it was a giant glass enclosed area, giant, a little city, where people went in and they had everything they needed. They had trees, they had some animals, and they could grow their food. And the idea was that for months there would be nothing coming in and nothing going out, just as it would be on Mars. You can't go in and out on Mars. No, you know, it's a hostile environment except for the sphere. And it is the trees in the Biosphere project that caught my attention. what happened when they were growing the trees inside of the biosphere. Once they grew to a certain size, they turned out the trees were very weak, and branches would fall off the trees because they broke under the strain of their own weight. And nobody figured out what's going on here. They're getting light, they've got atmosphere, get them water. What's the deal? What was the deal was something invisible. You know what makes a tree strong? The wind. The trees had no wind. And with that invisible force blowing and swaying the trees, it didn't make the trees strong. There are invisible forces that we don't account for that give us our strength. So if these young women understood that every day isn't the same, that there's fluctuations, and you can't have as many drinks now as you did before, it's okay to be up now, and not okay, you know, okay to be down another time. You know, instead of being told there's something wrong with you, that's just going to make somebody act out. Well, I'm misunderstood. They don't understand me, you know. And then what happens? It's transference, countertransference, action, reaction, response, and everything like that. And yes, this does happen between nations. We understand ourselves, we will stop destroying the environment and destroying our bodies at the same time. That's the movement we're in right now, and I think they go hand in hand. And the popularity of your website and your work, Leslie, at holyhormones.com is giving support to my notion that this is where we are going to, and the horrors that you describe are telling us a lot of what's happening right now is the leftover of a destructive era, and that is what we are moving from. So, Leslie, what's the most important thing that you think young women should hear to help understand themselves a little bit better?
Well, we're doing our young women a great injustice. We're not teaching them, first of all, anything about the history of women, the great accomplishments women have made. All of that is hidden, especially to young women who need to be mentored by women, other than Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan, the latter being an alcoholic and a severely disturbed young woman who is, you know, not setting a good example for other women, but she is a great example of really what young women are going through. Stereotype, of course, and that they're lost in the world. I was lost in this world until I started reading women's books written by women. And then finally, even through all my years of college, I learned, but didn't, you know, really resonate with me. It wasn't until I picked up my first women's book that I went, okay, now I'm getting it. Now something is speaking to my heart as a woman. We need to start educating young girls about their history, about the value of women. We need to not be teaching them as much about reproductive health, which is social political because it's all about sex. What we need to be focusing on is menstrual health education. I call it abstinence through empowerment. We need to be sharing with them how they change throughout the menstrual cycle, why they change throughout the menstrual cycle, when they can be powerful, when they need to lay low. When these girls in this in-house treatment program saw the changes that they went through on a monthly basis, whether it was suicide, alcohol, drug cravings, cigarette cravings, they were happy, they were glad, they were bitchy, they were sad, they were angry. When they saw that all of those things happened on a cyclical basis, then they understood that when they fell in that dark hole, the premenstrual phase, that dark hole, that they would come out on the other side.
Yeah, and we need to understand ourselves.
Their hormones would start rising and they would start feeling better. So when they understood that it was a phase, then we worked on prevention.
Yes.
And these
absolutely
are the things that we need to empower these girls with. And another one of my favorite things is we need to empower girls so that they understand that they have much more value than what lies between their legs. Because right now, girls think that the only value they have is what lies between their legs.
And that's a young girl wants love is going to give sex in order to give it, and the guy is going to give love, quote unquote, in order to get sex. And so it's a conflict between emotional and physical in that way.
Absolutely.
You know, so
we're doing both.
Unless the young girl has support to realize that she's more valuable than that, and to wait until she's being respected and everything, she's going to find emotional support from whoever will pay attention to her and make her feel like she's getting some kind of understanding. But, you know, if parents don't understand their own emotional intelligence, they're certainly not going to convey and instill it in their children. And this has been the mistake of the last number of generations, I think. America's greatest generation, yes, overcame the Depression and won a war. Thank God. Many big praises and thanks for that. And they built great cities and the most prosperous economy ever in the history of the world and everything like that. But look at the degree of alcoholism, the drug abuse that came, the drug abuse of the children that followed. So even in our great culture, with a great generation that came before us, there were problems, and the problems all come from lack of understanding and lack of emotional intelligence, which we're getting now.
Very
you know,
well
the fall said. Of the Iron Curtain and the Berlin Wall, I think, happened from lack of understanding. You know, we in America, you know, America, the biggest and the best and everything like that. Well, actually, this is my favorite country. But we did not have the most powerful army on Earth. The most powerful army ever amassed in the history of civilization belonged to the Soviet Union. They had more ships than us. They had more tanks, and more submarines, and more infantry, and so forth. And more cavalry. They had us outdone in every way. And yet, they were strong like iron. But what happened as things changed, when the physical cycle of the world was crossing down low, the great iron giant wanted to hold on to what it had known for generations. And they wanted to hold on to that empire. But iron is not malleable as strong as it is. It can be brittle. And it broke. And, you know, tanks amassed outside of the Kremlin, and and they said, no, don't let that parliament try to make any changes. We're going to hold on to the order. And guess what? The soldiers got up out of the tanks, and they said to their military leaders, no. We're not taking over the Kremlin. It doesn't feel right. What? And the most powerful army and most powerful nation in the world was stopped because everybody felt like it was time for a change. Nobody planned for that. Nobody saw it coming. But if they understood the rhythms of time, as you can find at kalarhythms.org, K-A-L-A, rhythms.org, you would see that it was time for that era to end. So what they found is that those who hung on to the past became part of it. They broke and they crumbled. Parents, your 16-year-old daughter might wreck the car for the same reason. Because she doesn't have support to understand that there are strong times and there are lesser times. There is brightness and there's dark. There's yin and yang. The strength comes in the seasons. Do you know a farmer that would plant their crops in fall instead of spring? Do you look at the animals? There are nocturnal animals that go to bed in the morning and diurnal animals that go to bed at night, but they all know what time it is. They don't go getting that all messed up. If you were going to sail from New York to London, you wouldn't go in a straight line. You would navigate the ocean currents and the trade winds to get there faster and easier. You defy nature, and you find nature more powerful. Let us not defy our own nature. Let us understand the nature of our rhythms within us and the world around us, because they are the same. We are one. Self-realization brings us the realization of all things. And that's why your work has been so valuable and so late. One more point before I turn it back over to you, Leslie. You know, you mentioned reading. There isn't a lot of support for, you know, history. There's no herstory. Well, we'll play on there. I got that from Barbara Walker. She probably coined it from somebody else. Barbara Walker is one of my favorite authors. Even before I met you, Leslie, I read her book, The Woman's Dictionary of Symbols and Sacred Objects. And she really she really has great work and understanding. And she went through, just as you're doing now, contemporaneously, doing the research and bringing it to women to help understand. She did this in her research of Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets. I recommend that book most of all, The Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets by Barbara Walker. If you want to understand yourself, the feminine aspect of society, and the understanding of emotional intelligence and the practices of and by women throughout the ages, get The Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets. Because I'll tell you one thing. What is true for the individual is true for nations, and it's this. Any culture that denies its feminine aspects has a tendency to cruelty. And this is why we see trying to control women. This is why we see abuse. We see physical abuse, sexual abuse, and so forth, abandonment and rage and so forth. Any culture that denies its feminine aspects will be prone to cruelty. That's our past, but it is not our future. Thanks in part from the work of you, Leslie, and HolyHormones.com.
Well, thank you so very much. There are many, many of us who have been working on this issue. I belong to the Society for Menstrual Cycle Research. Well, and they focus more on the menstrual cycle. I'm like you, David, and which is why we collaborate so well. I see the big picture, and that it's not just menstruation. It is the natural cycles of the world. The menstrual cycle is known to be one of them because of its predictability and rhythmicity. And it is a powerful cycle that needs to be honored. It's sacred, and that's why I get the name HolyHormones.com, holy with an H for sacredness. It came out of the Batman days, but that's another story. But what I also wanted to say, in my book on understanding your mind, mood, and hormone cycle, which will be on Amazon shortly, is that we approach women's the menstrual cycle from a spiritual and sacred manner. We go through exactly what happens. It all starts in the brain. We look at Mona Lisa Schultz's work, The New Feminine Brain, and how that translates to what goes down within the reproductive organs and the beautiful, delicate signaling and hormone rhythms that go back and forth. We also then look at the menstrual cycle tie into the lunar cycle and describe the female mystique, which I went through earlier in the hour. And then we go through methods of birth control. Most importantly, what we do, though, is then we share the sacredness of the menstrual cycle with pictures and graphics of antler bones from 250,000 B.C., where women were tracking menstrual cycles on antler bones. And again, this backs up what Elise Boulding said. They were the women were the first to recognize this cycle and its synchronicity with the lunar cycle. A lot of great power comes from that. We need to change how women's health is perceived. We need to stop being the second sex in terms of the medical system. We need to reclaim ourselves as the first sex. And only women can make that happen. Doctors aren't going to make that happen. Women need to reclaim their bodies with knowledge and information and education, and that is what I am trying to do through my work.
Very well said, Leslie, and I believe that you are doing it, and you're leading the way of understanding for both men and women. And these things that you've heard are just some of the many things that you'll find in her body of work outlined at HolyHormones.com. And her book, Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle, is available now on her site and is forthcoming on Amazon. I've had the privilege of reading this book. It's very well written, very well researched, and it's monumental work with amazing graphics. Leslie, thank you so much for sharing these insights with our listeners tonight and helping us to understand a little more.
And thank you very much, David. It's always a pleasure and an honor to work with you.
Likewise, Leslie. I think we're going to be hearing a lot more from you. Thank you for joining us on the Cycles of Change radio program.